Because a bipartisan group and a group of pretty high luminaries, names that you would certainly recognize, are going to release a comprehensive report on national challenges today. While the nation faces tough times, a big budget from President Obama for 2010, and questions about the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, problems in the Middle East are shaping up, healthcare costs, and so much more. How do you organize the government to best address those challenges, and how do you prioritize the challenges in order of importance? Well, joining us this morning is Dr. David Abshire. Dr. Abshire is the president of the Center for the Study of the Presidency and Congress, and he's former U.S. ambassador to NATO, and he joins us this morning with news about this report. Good morning, Dr. Abshire. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. You summed up our report very nicely.
Well, I don't know if I have any of the details, which are still under wraps, but you're joined by Senator Mark Warner today, Congressman Frank Wolf, as well as David Walker, who is the Comptroller General, now President and CEO of the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. So is this more financial in nature, or is it about some of the problems in terrorism or the wars the country is involved in? What's your analysis tell you?
Well, you see, when you put together all those issues, you've got to have a strategy to deal with them. Barack Obama likes to pick Lincoln as his role model. He knew how to set and have his other priorities fit into that, and to know that you had to have timing and take some up and some up later, and you had to interrelate them. That's what our report does, and central to it, obviously, is moving the economy. But then if you stimulate it and you increase the deficits exponentially, then in a couple of years, you've got to do what 2 years, you have to pivot, and you have to come to grips after the economy's moving with these deficits and debt. But everything else you've mentioned, whether it's Afghanistan or health care, are related in our report.
And Dr. Curlin, this seems to be the season for these kinds of reports. Just a couple months ago, there was a big cybersecurity comprehensive report that had a lot of high-level people involved. Just yesterday on our show, we talked about a new National Security Comprehensive Commission report. Mr. Walker's had his own report that resulted in a movie, IOUSA. What is the difference this time? Why will this report, do you think, get some traction in the government?
Well, we've had over 150 people that have been involved. By the way, we're in very close touch with the administration and with the Congress. The country has never been so tested except in 1861, 1933, and 1941. We're in great danger, and there's got to be a coming together. But most of these reports take one area, or else they're just a bunch of generalities. But the fundamental thing is how you, after you stimulate, then how you pivot and almost do the reversal. And at that point, when the economy's moving, we think you've got to break out of the system, because in the campaign, both candidates said Washington's broken, and you've got to have a reform measure, reform like Teddy Roosevelt liked to do, and that reform measure is a commission, like the Military Bases Closing Commission, that after you do the report, and it goes to the Congress, and then you have an up-and-down vote. But it enables people to vote against their own special interest for the general interest. That's the only way a congressman or a senator can do that.
We're talking this morning.
You've got to help them with a new reform measure to get on higher ground.
We're talking this morning to Dr. David Abshire, president of the Center for the Study of the Presidency and Congress, about their new report on national challenges. Now, I noticed that you also have Norman Augustine. Augustine is the former chairman and CEO of Lockheed Martin and undersecretary of the Army. And you're well aware that there have been, some real stern looks at some major weapons programs. And people are questioning whether this sort of downturn in spending on national defense defense is a good or a bad idea. Do you address that in the report as well?
We will have groups later that get into this in more detail. But I've got a simple term for that. When I went to NATO in 1983 and we had to turn it around, it's thinking smarter, not richer. And it's making a unified effort. That's what strategy is. Strategy is not a goal. It's ways and means of getting there. And you've got to do an overall assessment of where we are and make sure that your defense investment is effective. We spend more than the rest of the world put together on defense. And as General Petraeus said when he landed with the Airborne Division, if we can't change minds, we can't win. And it's the difference between power and force. Use all of our elements of national power. And it's been Bob Gates that's been the first to say we're not spending enough on smart power, soft power. That is some of the things that the State Department should be doing that have been thrust upon our military, which they shouldn't bear. So it's thinking smarter and not throwing money at the problem.
Of course, national defense is the one absolute thing that the government has to do. But some of the other conclusions that you're going to come out with are reforming healthcare system and strengthening the educational system. Are those things that we have to conclude that it's the federal government is the lead? In other words, does that mean when you say reform healthcare that means single payer federal government, or does it mean creating more competition in the private sector and maybe getting the government more out of healthcare to save money down the line?
You know, we got a certain commonality here. If we're spending more than the rest of the world on the military, we're spending more per capita on health care than other countries and getting less out of it. So the same principle applies, and there's some best practices overseas. Commonwealth Fund in New York's done work on that. So, and the digitalization that this commission's been set up, it's not going to be easy to put that into effect. You can't read your doctor's prescriptions, but you get all that digitized. You're going to improve your efficiency. And in the field of education, we're spending more on education, and we're about in the world, lesser than in Thailand and a lot of these countries. And we do greatly applaud our group headed by Roy Romer and Bill Brock and Chancellor Klein of the school system in New York. Merit pay and longer terms more innovation. And we applaud what our group came up with. A lot of that is reflected in the president's reform speech, where he went against a good bit of his base. So we applaud that side of his initiative enormously.
And the number one challenge facing the government, stabilizing the economy.
Now, number one, stabilizing the economy.
And do you think we're making progress on that?
Well, you know, we've been a little like Franklin Roosevelt when he came in his first 100 days. He was experimenting, and the only difference is back then you didn't have a 24-hour news cycle. And they've gotten some things in the end of the Bush administration that were very wrong, and some things beginning of this administration, I think they're getting better and better at it. And I think this latest initiative has been quite good. And, of course, Secretary Geithner has been in there alone. This confirmation process is devastating. So I think we're making some progress there. But, you know, I appreciate that Secretary Obama stresses we do not want to destroy the entrepreneurial system we've got. And so, again, how after you take over so much of AIG, Citigroup, and so forth, you've got to be sure that you're careful on the incentives. And as we cap bonuses, you know, let's not kill off those people that have been working hard.
And this is their form of many of them. This is their compensation for the year. It really isn't the pay that they make; it's the bonus that they receive that ends up being their compensation. But
absolutely, a lot of people at Citigroup's salary is very low,
right?
And they live by bonuses, so it's a it's a misleading thing. That has nothing to do with these people in corporations. I was on a board and had to object when they had not, they'd gone against the guideline and we hadn't made the profit that was called for, and they gave the person a bonus. Boards ought to stand up on that. It's outrageous.
Well, we agree with that, Dr. Abshire. We need to go to a break, but we thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about the new study, and you'll find it at federalnewsradio.com once it's released. And we look forward to your press conference. It's coming up in about 10 minutes. I think
that's right. I better get up on the end of the Senate building.